Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to the second edition of Baptist Men's Day today. Thank you for the All Men's Choir, and thank you for listening today. No, thank you. Yeah, there you go. You got to plan ahead. If you want to follow along with me this evening, our verses are going to come from the book of John, chapter 11. I'll give you a couple minutes to turn there. We're going to be talking about... Well, kind of give you a little summary of it, I guess, beforehand. This morning, Brother C was talking to us about Jesus as the light of the world. And sort of what I'm going to be talking about is Jesus in a different aspect. We're going to be talking about Jesus, the source. And we'll get to that in a few more minutes. As scripture passage will be John chapter 11, we'll be beginning in verse 17. For right now, though, let's go to the Lord for a word of prayer. Dear God, we thank you again for this chance to be here tonight, this evening, dear God. And we do thank you for our pastor, who is our full-time pastor, Brother Randall, dear God. And we thank you for the person he is and for his willingness to come and stand before this group and this congregation on a weekly basis, dear God, and bring these messages from you. And we thank you for the servant he is. And I thank you, God, that this is a church that is willing to let others stand up and speak words that they've received from you also, dear God. And I pray that as we go through this time that you will make my words clear to these people, that your spirit will be upon this place, and that you will clarify everything that is said tonight, dear God, and that everyone here will receive a message from you in some way. I pray that you will use me as a useful instrument for you, dear God. Be with us in these things. In Christ's name, amen. All right, let's begin our reading. John 11... Chapter 11, beginning of verse 17. Just to give you a little backstory, we're beginning where Jesus is in Bethany, visiting his three friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And when we pick up the story in 17, Lazarus has died. This is a very familiar passage, as you'll see. Beginning of verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies." When we read this passage, and as I said, it's a very familiar story, very familiar, the story of Lazarus, one of the most memorable miracles of Jesus, the bringing forth of the dead man Lazarus. But I want to take a look at a different aspect. Instead of looking at Lazarus, I want to look more at the conversation, so to speak, between Martha and Jesus, which is why this is the only part of the passage we've read. Martha comes to Jesus and she makes two very distinct statements about her brother's death in relation to Jesus. The first thing she states here in verse 21, in verse 22, she says, "But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." And also in verse 24, she says, when Jesus says, "Your brother will rise again," she answers, "I know he will rise at the resurrection at the last day." The resurrection, the great resurrection at the end of the world, when all the dead will rise. She makes these two distinct statements. And what we're left to wonder is, was Martha right? Jesus does correct her thinking, but was she right? Was she correct to say what she did to Jesus, to answer him in the way she did? Well, let's take a look at the first thing. She says, you know, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even though he's dead, even now, I know the Lord will give you. I know God will give you whatever you ask." Martha had faith and assurance that God would grant Jesus' request, whatever it may be. Martha understood that there was a very distinct and special relationship between God and Jesus. She realized that Jesus was not just an ordinary man, was not just a prophet, he was something more, and that he had a power and a connection with God unlike anyone else. She understood this. And that's why she said, you can ask it. Just simply say the word, and God will grant you what you want. He will bring Lazarus back. She verified. She said, you know, she made very clear that she believed this. And was she wrong? Was she right? She was right, wasn't she? Jesus could have spoken the word. And many times, in many of his miracles, he did. He would pray to God for something, and it would be given. He would when he fed the 5,000, he prayed to the Lord. He thanked God for it, and the miracle was performed. So she was right in this. And secondly, we look at verse 24. Jesus says, your brother will rise again. He gives her assurance, he will rise. And she says, I know he'll rise at the resurrection at the end of the last days. As we understand the resurrection, as far as I know, I'm not a scholar on, well, not a scholar on anything really, but especially not Jewish history or Jewish belief. But from what I understand, the Jewish ideas of the end of the world are very similar to ours, that there will be a judgment and there will be a time when the dead, the righteous who have lived and died, will rise from the dead. There'll be a resurrection. And Martha understood this also. She says, I know that he will rise at the end of the resurrection. And this is true also. So we can look and see that Martha was correct in her thinking. But what we have to realize is that there was one thing she was lacking. There was one thing about the situation she didn't fully grasp. And we really capture that in Jesus' first few words in verse 25. She answers him. She says, I know he will rise at the resurrection at the last day. But Jesus says in verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. And that's the real point I really want to focus on tonight. That when she says she has faith that there will be a resurrection, she has faith that Jesus can, you know, call upon God to do these things. But I think Jesus is showing her that he is the one who can do these things. She doesn't need to look anywhere else. She doesn't need a prophet to pray for something. She doesn't need to wait to the end of the world for a resurrection. What she wants, what she desires from God, Jesus showing her she can have that now. Jesus says, I am the resurrection. The resurrection, you're looking toward for a resurrection that will be maybe a few years, maybe thousands of years away. He says, but I am the resurrection. I am the only resurrection that's needed right now. Jesus was showing her that he had power of his own. As we look into the book of Isaiah, when it foretells the birth of Christ, it's, you know, we read the words, you know, a virgin will be with child and will bring forth a son and will call him Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, I believe, was proclaiming his divinity in this way. He says, I am the resurrection you need. Lazarus doesn't need to wait for the end of the world. You don't need to have me to pray to God for it. I can do it myself. I am the resurrection. And we understand that today, as we understand Jesus, that he is the Savior. He is everything. You know, what is the song, Jesus is all the world to me. Jesus is all that is needed. And he's teaching Martha that. As far as the Jewish religion, she is right there. She's with it. There's nothing false about her. She knows what she's talking about, but he's teaching her there is a little bit more about him. That when the Messiah comes, he'll not just be a teacher. He won't just be a prophet. He will be what was proclaimed, and that is Emmanuel. He is God with us. God in their presence. God right next to them. God performing miracles personally himself. Not relying on an intangible, invisible, you know, God, but he himself being God. And yes, many times he called upon the Father. And as we understand the Trinity, that God is one. It's one God, but he reacts he's in three different ways towards us. We understand this. The Jews had always known God the Father, God the invisible, intangible, not physical, the God who was there, but not in the sense of what we understand physical, material. But now Jesus has come proclaiming himself as God with them. And that is really what I want to focus on here. It's because I think that what happened to Martha's thinking often happens with us. That we understand that Jesus and God are one. Jesus said in Scripture, I and the Father are one. And as it said, Randall was preaching just the other day from this same book, John chapter 1, verse 1, where it talks about the Word. The Word came into the world, and the world was with God. The world was God. And later in that chapter, it says, the Word became flesh. The Word that was with God and was God became flesh, and He dwelled among us. And that's where we get this from. That many times, I think, in our lives, we have things happen. We have, like Martha. Martha was at a place in her life where she greatly wanted and desired and needed something in her life, something that she could not do for herself, that no other person could do for her. But instead of looking directly at Jesus as the source of her help, she was looking at a resurrection that would be possible, you know, for what we can see, obviously thousands of years away. She was looking for Jesus to pray on her behalf. Well, all she needed, Jesus was teaching her, all you need to do is look at me. Not look anywhere else. Look where I am. And that is, like I say, and those four words are just the key point to me of this entire verse. I am the resurrection. I'm here. I can resurrect him. I can do it. The miracle you wish for, I can perform it right now. I don't need anything else. I can do it. I am here with you. But I think often, and like I said, not to reiterate too much, but I think often that's where we get. Things happen in our lives, and like say, we'll say illness. And you know, and yes, we do pray to God. And yes, we do ask for prayer. But we also look for other things. Like I think often sometimes we'll say an illness happens. And our primary concern is we think about going to the doctor. Not that I'm knocking healthcare, of course. But we think we need to go to a doctor. We need to change our lifestyle. We need to do this. You know, all we really need to do, the primary thing, is go straight to God. Go to the source of everything, which is Jesus. The source of healing, the source of peace, of understanding, of whatever is needed, He's there to provide it. Jesus as the source of whatever. And this is, I think, many times, it's easy to know and it's easy to believe, but it's also sometimes easy to overlook, to just at that moment not even think about it. You know, I always hear the slogan. I think Pastor Ken used to say it or have something about it. You know, have you prayed today? You know, it's just that little reminder. It's so easy, and it's so easy to forget sometimes that we have to keep that connection, that God is there for us. In a personal way, just like He was there with Martha. He was right there. He was right there, everything she needed. And we see that we need to remember, just as Brother Steve spoke this morning, we need to remember that Jesus is our light. We should let that light that He is within us shine to others. And we need to keep and live with the fact that He is our source of everything. Whatever is needed, He is the source for us. I'm going to use one more passage of Scripture to kind of reiterate my point, but there's no need to turn. In the book of Job, I want to read a few quick verses from chapter 19 just to bring back up my point. Job was a man that, if you know anything about Job at all, you know he was a man who was greatly afflicted. We read in the book of Job, read a few verses here, starting verse 14. It says, this is Job speaking to his friends. He says, "My kinsmen have gone away. My friends have forgotten me. My guests and my maidservants count me as a stranger and look upon me as an alien. I summon my servant, but he does not answer, though I beg him with my own mouth. My breath is offensive to my wife. I am loathsome to my own brothers. Even the little boys scorn me. When I appear, they ridicule me. All my intimate friends desert me. Those I love have turned against me. I am nothing but skin and bones and have escaped only with the skin of my teeth." Job was afflicted. He had lost everything. He had lost his family, his possessions, his wealth. His friends had deserted him. Even his own health was compromised because of his afflictions. Yet we read a few verses down in the same chapter, and we read in verse 25, Job makes the statement to his friends that even though he's been afflicted, he says in verse 25, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand. Or in the end, where am I? I lost my place. In the end, he will stand upon the earth. That even in all his afflictions, Job stayed focused upon the source of his help. He stayed focused. He says, my Redeemer lives. Even though all the world forsake me, my Redeemer lives. He is real. He is there for me. Even if I, Job makes a statement later that even if I die in this world in poverty and in illness and in disgrace, he knows I will live again in the next world. When my flesh is gone, I will stand with my Redeemer. And that is what we need to understand. That beyond everything else, God is the source of our everything. Be it health, be it understanding, salvation, whatever. He is our source. And that is what that is really my message, simply, very simply tonight, the message of what it is tonight, that he needs to be our source. We need to keep Jesus as our source. And just remember that we need to live that way. Just as Brother Steve said, we must live as the light. We must also live as keeping Jesus our source. That when we go to God in prayer, we must go to him in faith, believing that we will receive what God has presented, and believing that he is there and he is capable of doing all things for us. I'm going to have a prayer right now, and I'll ask Brother Randall to come up. We'll have our closing song. Let's pray together. Dear God, we do thank you for this message. And even though it is short, dear God, and very simple, I pray that your Spirit will be upon this place, and that these words I've spoken, that they will pass away from the people, and that all the only thing that will be remembered will be the message that you have brought here tonight. That you will speak to each and every person and each and every heart in a very special way, dear God. That you would give to each person the words that they need to hear at this moment, whatever the situation may be in their lives, dear God. I pray that you would be with me, that you would be with all of us, to help us remember that you are the source of our help, that you are the one from which our help comes, and that we should live in a way that does reflect that, dear God. Forgive me my sins, dear God. Be with these people, and be with us as you lead us through this time of invitation. All these things we ask in your name. Amen.